That's the first issue. The second issue, our behavior versus the behavior of the Groves. And I just want to first share with y'all an email that I had sent to the Groves after Catherine's parents had come the first time, and we had the six-hour meeting with Corey, which I highlighted in another little sermon excerpt that we made. I sent an email welcoming them, and I want y'all to see how I was treating them as Christians. I was. Mike Lumpkin, I was treating them as Christians. And all the other pastors that are listening and wondering, you know, did we just shun them without following peace and without walking in the light with them and being willing to be subject to them in the fear of God and loving them? No. Here's what I said. I said, "Dear Mr. and Miss Grove," and this email was sent to them on July 20th. And I'm on my Yahoo account. "Dear Mr. and Miss Grove, greetings from Wells, Texas. This is Ryan Ringnald writing a quick note to you all in light of your recent visit. I was sincerely thankful to have met both of you, truly, even though the circumstances made for things to be rather difficult at the first, parentheses, on both sides, in parentheses. Further, I was thankful that you all were willing to come talk to us and hear us out before embracing certain discord you heard against us in the town." And that is because when they first met with us, they said that people in this town where we live were saying atrocious, terrifying, calamitous things that they knew couldn't have been true. They knew that these things weren't true. And it's been rumored abroad that we have guns in our backpack and that we have, you know, have bombs, you know, and many such. We live in a commune and many such like atrocious, absolutely obnoxious lies that are not true by people that perhaps they don't understand us, and what you don't understand, oftentimes you fear and things like that, have said those things. But those that have gotten to know us and those that have talked to us, generally many of those people have seen a reasonableness and have seen an honesty and a kindness, and we're just desiring to be men of principle and conviction to stand by what we believe, which is the written word of God. We're open book, and we're willing to talk about it. We're willing to meet with pastors, and I'm going to go into that a little bit with our behavior with the Groves versus their behavior. I'm going to finish this email that I wrote. "Mr. Grove, I appreciate that you seemed forward to hear some of the blessed upright men of yesteryear that I mentioned, who have been greatly influential in the lives of many of us down here. I will therefore be attaching a sermon for you by Jonathan Edwards called, quote, The Way of Holiness." So I'm pointing to Jonathan Edwards. I believe he's a man of God. I love him. The Bible says a bishop or an elder is supposed to be a lover of good men. So not just in this generation, but good men of all time. I love Jonathan Edwards. And I go on. "We most heartily agree with the heart of this message and the need for holiness individually and corporately in all professing Christians of this nation. It was used mightily in my life many years ago when the Lord was awakening me to the straight gate and the narrow way of biblical Christianity that I had never known. I pray that it is helpful to you too and your family. That said, we are praying for Catherine and burdened to see her truly set free. God knows. Further, we trust that the Lord will do so in due time, God willing, as long as His Holy Spirit has free reign to do what He does best, save souls. May God get all the glory there by exclamation point." I go on. This is my email I sent on July 20th, 2013 to the Groves. "You all are welcome to visit anytime you please. You are even welcome to move down here if the Lord leads." Did y'all hear that, what I said? "We would gladly meet with you, Mr. Grove, like I had mentioned, if you would so desire and think it profitable to do so, whether in person, on the phone, or on Skype. All the things that I said to both of you was in love and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be honored," is what I meant. It was little. I said, thee. "Until we meet again, sincerely your well-wisher and friend on behalf of the rest of our congregation in Wells, Ryan Ringnault." And then I gave my number, and then I said, "Here's the sermon I'm recommending, The Way of Holiness by Jonathan Edwards." And then I gave him our website. Also, we have many documents from ourselves and influential old-timers of the past on our website. So that was the email of invitation. And shortly after that, that was on July 20th, the Groves arrived down here. They did not call me beforehand to plan the meeting that I had said, "Mr. Grove, like I had said before, I'm willing to meet with you." And I was willing with the pastors of our church to meet with Mr. Grove and talk about doctrine. I was willing if he wanted to bring another pastor or another man that he believes living a holy life and practicing what he preaches down to talk to us about doctrine and scripture and things like that, because that was the main rift. That was the main reason that Catherine was concerned to just give herself over to the things that her parents, but particularly her mom, were saying, because they were saying she's saved when she is saying she's not saved, and they weren't believing her word, and it was concerning her. It was concerning her. She just really wanted to take God seriously. She really wanted to take eternity seriously in the written word of God. And as we should, as Christians, have that endeavor and that desire. And that was her prerogative, to make that decision. And we weren't going to force her to be in a situation that she did not want to be in, where she thought that her eternal soul was at stake. That's a high welfare. But by the grace of God, we didn't want to break any laws of the land, and we knew she was 26 and had been away from home for 7 years, and that's what Mr. Grove had told me, and she had been in 15 different places, and she could do what she wanted to do in that predicament. So anyway, I'd sent this email inviting them to come, and they came, and they did not request a meeting. They did not call me before they had gotten here, and all of a sudden that they were here. And that week that they were here, we met for many hours. Friends, many hours, dozens of hours, arguably, I don't know, 20 hours, I can't tell. We had met already for 6 hours at one point. Mr. Grove had estimated that we've met 30 hours. I've heard him say that. I don't know how many hours, but they came down and we met a lot. One of the meetings was an 11-hour meeting after they had first come. An 11-hour meeting talking about all of these things. And Miss Grove got very heated, like she has every meeting that we have had, like she had with the meeting with me and Corey James McLaughlin, which went until 2 a.m. when they had first arrived. And Mr. Grove was not correcting his wife, was not telling his wife that that is not charitable, that is not the wisdom from above, which is peaceable without partiality, which is kind, which is slow to anger and slow to wrath and quick to hear and quick to believe all things and hope all things, etc. And that was their behavior. That was their behavior, and particularly Miss Grove's behavior. But Mr. Grove wasn't reproving it toward us. And our behavior toward them was just, we just wanted to stand by the written word of God. We wanted to love them. We gave them meals. We accepted them in their houses. We, like I've said to y'all before, we would have allowed them to stay with us. They wanted to camp out, but I multiple times mentioned to Mr. Grove, he could come stay with us. We let them freely talk to any of the brethren in the church and hear their testimonies out and have fellowship with them. We treated them as Christians. We did. And that week, at least three times, the Groves, if it wasn't Mr. Grove, it was both of them, or it was Mrs. Grove and her father, who's a Roman Catholic. I love the man dearly. I love him. I don't believe that Roman Catholics are born again. I don't believe it. I don't believe that their final authority is the written word of God, which I believe is the final authority. I believe that they have traditions with the written word of God. I believe that justification is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. They don't believe that. I love Roman Catholic people. I do, but I believe they need to be born again. Just like I had to be born again, just like everybody else got to be born again. And that's a work of salvation of God on His terms, which is surrender to the living Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith in His holy name, and evidenced by a life of universal holiness on the other side. But nevertheless, he's a Roman Catholic. He's admitted that he does not necessarily think that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I do believe that. John 14:6 says that I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. But she ended up coming with her grandfather one day. All three of these times, at least three different times, they came and tried to come upon Catherine against her will, her stated will. Many times she's told them in messages on their phone. She's left a message. I'm not sure how many. She's told them on the phone in live conversation. She's told them in person. I've borne witness. Others have borne witness that she at this time did not want to see them by themselves and with her, because she did not want to be subverted from biblical truth. And she felt like she didn't know the scripture well enough to defend herself. And that was their stated purpose, was to undermine this work that the Spirit of God is doing with the fruits that I just manifested, which are in a book that Mr. Lumpkin, their pastor, sent down with them to me through our preaching of just the scriptures. We don't want to control anybody through psychology or worldly wisdom or anything like that. We want God to control people. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to be exalted. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ's sake. We want truth. People to be led by truth. We want to be counselors. We want to be helpers together with people, with professing Christians that would be a part of this flock and would choose to come to this church of their faith. And I hope that would be the same for any pastor around the country through the written word of God, to tell them what the Bible says. So they ask, how do you be saved? We'll tell them how to be saved. Is that controlling them? If they want to listen, they can listen. If they don't want to listen, they don't have to listen. They can go to another church that'll tell them something different if they want. But as far as we're concerned, the Bible's true, so we're going to go to the Bible. And if we're wrong, I want to know about it. We want to come to the light. We want to be reproved. Reproofs of instruction, the way of life, to keep us from the strange woman that flatteth with the tongue that speaketh smooth things. That's Proverbs 6:23. And correction is grievous to him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Proverbs 15:10. And by the grace of God, I don't hate reproof. I want to be reproved, not by psychology. I'm not an atheist. I'm not some kind of psychologist or anything like that. I know psychology was built upon more of a humanistic an atheistic worldview. I'm not. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe God made the world. I believe the Scripture is God's divine revelation to man, and that's how the world was made, not the Big Bang. And I don't believe what Darwin taught. I don't believe in eugenics and things like this. And some people, that's the roots of psychology. They can believe that. That's their prerogative. I've done research. I've studied it myself. We have on our website something that's written by a secular group, humanistic, humanitarian type of group, on the roots of psychology. And they're pretty fearful about some of the way psychology was used in Hitler Germany, and how people were, you know, arguably on a massive level, killed through a lot of psychological type of terms that weren't necessarily scientific. They were pseudo-scientific, and they were used in a very bad way. And y'all can look at that video yourself. And so anyway, I'm not trying to get into that. But our behavior toward the Groves, we met with them for about 30 hours. We had planned a meeting on a Friday of this week that they had come down. And we had planned to meet at 12 o'clock to talk about biblical conversion. And instead of them coming to that meeting to talk with us, and this is after I already had an 11-hour meeting with them, and we had met for many hours that week, and on multiple occasions, you know, I was talking to them every single day, laying down my life to talk to them, to help them, even bringing Mr. Grove back into my study where I study and showing him and being so kind and loving him. I love him. I hope that y'all don't think I'm deceiving you. I love Mr. Grove. I love Mrs. Grove. Their behavior has not been Christian. It's been anything but Christian and unkind and uncharitable toward us. And without charity, the Bible says it profiteth you nothing. You can give all you have to the poor. You can be burned at a stake and it profits you nothing. But at the same time, I still love them. There's no bitterness in my heart against them. And they ended up coming at 10 o'clock to try to basically ambush Catherine against her will at the house where she was staying. And she said to them again, she was alone with her mother, and she said, I don't want to see you alone right now. I don't want to be subverted, generally, is what she would continually say in my faith. She was concerned because her mother would many times would say, we're preaching hate. She wouldn't like give any proof. She wouldn't give a proof text or say how we're preaching hate or a hateful God or something like that. We preach a sin-hating God, but he's also such a loving God that he laid down his life for the world that he could be just and justify those that believe in him. But, you know, she accused us of preaching hate. She again would accuse us of, you know, sins of our past, that by the grace of God we've been born again, implying that like she's not sinning or she doesn't have sin when she before our eyes is slandering, saying evil and being uncharitable and unkind to us and things like that, not honoring, respecting that her daughter at this time didn't want to be with them alone. She's 26. She doesn't have any psychological disorders that are known. She's been independent for a long time. She's very smart. She's much smarter than I am. She's very intellectual. She can make her own decisions. And we have laws in this country that defend that. And so she ended up, you know, coming where I was that day. But we were supposed to have a meeting at 12 o'clock to talk about biblical conversion because we knew that this was the issue. And so again, the reason I'm making this audio recording is because I want y'all to know that want to know what the real issue is, and it's what is biblical conversion. And I hope that expresses why it's relevant. The second point was our behavior versus the behavior of the Groves. I just want to express that day, we ended up canceling having the meeting on biblical conversion. And we wanted to make a statement to the Groves as a church. And we also wanted to let Catherine tell them her will, tell them her desire at that point. She had told them on the phone. She had told them on messages. She had that she didn't want to see them. They kept coming, and they kept trying to take her away from here and deceive her from the faith and the work that God was doing and turning her from sin and basically tell her that she's fine in her sin. The Bible says that's what false prophets do in Jeremiah 23. For those of you that care, it says that they do not turn away God's people from their sins. Proverbs 14:25 says it like this: a true witness delivereth souls, means turns them from sin, but a false witness speaketh lies, meaning tells them they're fine in their sin. And I want people to turn from sin, because sin in essence, S-I-N, sin, is rebellion to Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, and I love him. And many of y'all, I'm sure, do. I'm sure y'all do love him and desire for his name to be sanctified. And if that's the case, then you will want to turn people from sin as well. And you'll be concerned when there are those that are saying that people are fine in sin that have place of authority to do that. You'll be concerned. Jeremiah was very concerned, a prophet in Jeremiah 23. Jesus Christ was very concerned in Matthew 23 toward those that were unsaved religious men known as Pharisees who claimed to believe the Bible, but they themselves were not turning men from sin like John the Baptist. They weren't preaching against sin. They weren't saying honor God. They weren't saying flee from the wrath to come. They weren't saying bring forth fruits meet for repentance. They weren't saying that God is holy and he desires, yea, demands, yea, purchased on Calvary's tree, holiness. That's what he wants. That's what he longs for. That's what touches the heart of God. He's a holy God, and they that will follow him must worship him in spirit and truth and in the beauty of holiness. So we had a meeting with the Groves, and there was two incentives at that meeting. We went to our grocery store, and we met in the washateria. Number one, Catherine could say what she wanted to say to them in person, so we did not want them slandering us or saying evil of us. We had done everything that we could to help them, but yet to honor Catherine's rights to do what she wanted to do. And then we were going to make a statement on behalf of the church. And first we started, and I made a statement on behalf of the church. We had Jake there, another one of the pastors of our church. My wife was there. Catherine was there. It was a nice atmosphere. There was a couch Mr. Grove and Miss Grove were sitting on. And I said, on behalf of the church, we don't believe that it's right now pertinent to have the meeting on biblical conversion. But that we were willing, I still was not breaking fellowship with the Groves, believe it or not. I was not. We were willing to have a meeting with Mr. Grove on biblical conversion. We knew that this was the main issue, the main rift at hand, the main reason why Catherine did not want to see her parents, did not want to be with them alone, did not want to listen to their doctrine, especially her mother. And so we basically made that statement, but this was the qualification. We did not want to talk about biblical conversion with Miss Grove there. In the scripture, it's not the woman or the female place generally to teach doctrine. It's not 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you believe what the scripture says, it's very clear the woman is not to usurp authority to the man, but to be in subjection. 1 Corinthians 11 says that the woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels, and we do believe that. And Ephesians 5 says that the wives are to submit to their husbands, but then it also says that the husbands are to lay down their lives for their wives, just like Christ laid down his life for the church to wash it in the water of the word. And so yes, amen, that's a pretty hefty responsibility for the men. And we believe that the wives are to submit to their husbands if they're doing that. And to love their husband, to cherish them, to honor them. And that honors God, because he's the one that made man first, and then he made woman second, to be an helpmeet for man, to push man in the back and say, be strong, honey, and have a good courage, and follow the Lord, and do right, and work in the Garden of Eden, and work in the kingdom of God, and follow Jesus Christ. I'm with you. I'm going to follow him with you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. And I think it's lovely, it's holy, it's wonderful. The doctrine of God, the doctrine according to godliness and the order that God has made in creation. And the biblical way of marriage, it's beautiful. Truly it is, if those things are all working together. But we do believe that. And so we said, Mr. Grove, that we were still willing to meet on biblical conversion, but we believed that it needed to be done with another, like, pastor of his or a man of God, or somebody that would be more reasonable, somebody that would be more sound-minded and not so emotional and not so passionate, and not, as Miss Grove, so generally just interrupting and rambunctious and unkind and accusatory and perpetually before our eyes trying to tell Catherine that she's saved many times. Perpetually, it wasn't perpetually in the sense that it was all the time, but it came out every meeting consistently. This was coming out. This was her behavior, and this is what was concerning Catherine. She was so greatly concerned for her own soul that her mother was set with all that in her was to deceive her, to tell that she's okay in her sin, because she had been doing it by Catherine's own admission for many years. She had been the main influence doing that. telling her that she's saved when she, according to the written word of God, believed that God was also showing her that she was not saved. And so it made her just be in this confusion, and it made her be a slave to sin still. And in that place, there was just it was no peace. And she didn't want to be there anymore. She wants to be born again. She wants to be saved. And the Bible says, "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart," in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. And the second thing, we wanted to let Catherine say what she wanted to say. So she told her parents that she did not want to see them. And she, what she meant is she didn't want to see them right now. She did not want to see them right now. Miss Grove left the room. It was in our washateria of the grocery store that our church owns and runs. And she was walking out of this washateria. And she was on fire. She was just very, very noisy and tumultuous and unkind, and she wouldn't listen to what the written word of God says. She wouldn't hear it, and she wouldn't listen to her daughter. Her daughter was saying, "I want time to seek the Lord." That's what she said. She'd been saying that. She just, "I want time to seek the Lord and not to be bothered and not to be concerned." And she was going out the door, and I said, "Miss Grove, you're not going to go on the World Wide Web and tell people that we kidnapped your daughter." She said, "Yes, I am. Yes, I am." And it was just a grief to my soul. I just love the Lord. I want him to be honored. I love Miss Grove. I want her to be saved. Then she walked out. And then Mr. Grove was there. And we tried to show Mr. Grove about how this the way that his wife was just, you know, firing at us and railing and reviling and vilifying and making unfounded accusations and just hurling these things. And contradicting the scriptures and unwilling to hear it and not reasonable and not meek and not of a quiet spirit and not shamefaced at all the things that are in the sight of God of great price that are beautiful. Beauty is vain and favor is deceitful, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And she wasn't fearing God. Proverbs 31. We tried to tell Mr. Grove, and he would not acknowledge any sin that his wife had committed. It was shocking to us before all the witnesses. Catherine was shocked. She couldn't believe that her parents were acting like that. And we were surprised as well. And in the way that I had offered to Mr. Grove, "You can come back and we'll talk about biblical conversion and we'll follow peace," I had offered in the email, like I showed y'all, that they could move down here. I wanted to even fellowship with them truly and follow on and know the Lord alongside with them. But yet, Mr. Grove wouldn't do it. And he also walked out and he said, "Do you mean it, Catherine?" And she said, "Yes, Dad." Generally, she said, "Yes, Dad, I mean." I can't remember what her words were. That's what she meant. And so he left. And then before you know it, Miss Grove was in our grocery store and she was raising her voice and yelling accusatory, evil, heinous, vicious things, stirring up such a ruckus that we had to come out there and talk to them, and she wouldn't stop. And then we went outside after that, and Mr. Grove and Miss Grove were there. And Miss Grove ended up running to customers' cars and was in the window of this white truck saying things against us like that we kidnapped her daughter and things like this, and just trying to flare up a frenzy and stir the emotions of people just to make a scene generally. And it was a disruption to our business, and we tried to talk to Mr. Grove, and "Mr. Grove, your wife is behaving unseemly right now. Charity doth not that which is unseemly." 1 Corinthians 13, she's not being reasonable. She's out of control. She's just stirring up a ruckus. This is not treating us like human beings. And Mr. Grove said, "Well, all's fair in war." That's what he said. All is fair in war. And he justified every sin she committed, and then all of his sin. And they've been generally the same way ever since. And so we had to call the police. And a deputy sheriff from the Cherokee County Sheriff's Department came up and talked to Catherine alone. And Catherine said she wanted to stay here with us. The parents were, you know, making this claim again that her welfare is at stake, or they're concerned with their daughter, things like this, and she wanted to stay with us, and she felt that her welfare is fine, and she's being treated well, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and she feels safer with us at this time than she would with them. She felt that they would try to subvert her convictions and her faith, and they weren't willing to agree to disagree and tell her that she is fine. You are saved, Catherine, and you ought to just be happy and rejoice and just frolic in a field and be happy-go-lucky. And even when the scripture is condemning her and she's seeing that she is lost, she's not blessed are they that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. She's not poor in spirit. She's not mourning. Blessed are they that mourn, for they should be comforted. She's not hungering and thirsting. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they should be filled. These are the Beatitudes. These are the marks of citizenship in God's kingdom, in Christ's kingdom, that Jesus Christ himself is speaking about in Matthew 5. 2 Corinthians 7 talks about godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. What carefulness it wrought in you, and clearing of yourselves, and fear, and indignation, and vehement desire. That means a passion for the Lord, a burning fire, desire for his glory, a zeal for his house to eat you up. And she didn't have those things. She knows she doesn't, but her parents won't believe her. Does she not have a right to believe what she wants to believe? And I ask all of you that are listening, that are willing to listen, I know I've been going on for a long time, does she not have a right to believe what she wants to believe? And should not her parents respect that? The deputy sheriff came that day and asked her, "Do you never want to talk to your parents again?" And she said, "No." Implying, meaning, no, that's not true. It's not that she didn't never want to talk to her parents again, and it's not that she didn't want to talk to her family either. She didn't want to talk to her mom and dad. But the rest of the family, it wasn't like that at that time. She wasn't cutting herself off from family. We weren't telling her to cut herself off from family, but we were telling her, you've got to seek the Lord if you want to be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And seek me, and you'll find me when you search me with all of your heart, and the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. And the Lord hath made all times and seasons, if haply men might seek the Lord and feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every single one of us. And they that know thy name, Psalm 9, that was Acts 17, will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I also quoted a little bit of Hebrews 11, verse 6, and scriptures like that. That was our message to her. And obviously the implication is that those that are telling you don't seek the Lord, you should be careful. And I would say that to any one of y'all. If you want to seek the Lord and be born again, if you're a slave to sin, a drunkard, or if you're a slave to fornication and pornography and just a proud man that loves the world and just a person that is unkind and a bully and you can't help it and just swearing like a sailor and cussing up a storm and hooked on snuff and tobacco and smoking weed and pot and all these kind of things, I would say unto you that the Lord Jesus Christ can save you, and you should be saved. And those things are not pleasing to God, and those things do make this God of the Bible that died to save men from sins grieved, even angry, but he loves you so much that if you'd seek him, then he'd be found of you. And if you would forsake all to follow him in your heart, not physically, not necessarily physically, we don't teach that, in your heart, and surrender all to Jesus, and, you know, I surrender all to him, I freely give, then Jesus Christ would come. Put a new song in your heart in his due time, but you can't rush the Lord either. And that has been one of the concerns that the Groves had as well about how long is it going to take Catherine to be saved. I don't know that, but I believe salvation is of the Lord. And Jonathan Edwards in The Great Awakening in the 1740s had a very quaint saying that expressed their heart. He said, quote, "We will not pluck unripe fruit." And that's our desire, not to say that you're fine when God's not saying it. Truly, we don't say when somebody's saved or not. But we like to let the Lord do that and say that. And yes, then if somebody's saying that they're saved, we will examine whether it be the pastors or whether it be some of the older brothers in the faith that know the Bible very well. We will look at that testimony and measure it up by the written word of God and show these people the fruits in that testimony and see if they have these fruits that God says you'll know a tree by its fruits, and a good tree can't bear bad fruits, and a bad tree can't bear good fruits. Do you have these fruits? Is there love in your heart? For true Christians, is there love for the world? Is there a burden for souls? Is there a desire to pray? Is there a love for the written word of God? Is there a consideration about the things of eternity, a acknowledgement of heavenly mindedness, thinking about the things above that are more important than just the things of this life? Is there a hatred of sin? Is there a love for righteousness? Is there a desire to lay down your life for Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis, a daily repentance? Yes, we will ask them about these things. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if they're saved, the written word of God will confirm it. And if we're saved, and if I'm saved, and if you're saved, and anybody else, the written word of God will confirm it. But no, we don't tell somebody when they're saved or when they're not saved. That's been said. That's why I'm addressing that as an accusation and a slander and a railing lie. It's not true. It's not true. Finally, after that scene, and the sheriff's department came and told them to leave and let Catherine, you know, be there and do what she wanted to do, and she stayed here seeking the Lord since that time. And after that, it's when the Groves went back up to Arkansas, I believe, around that time, and they came back down with an RV to move down with the purpose of bringing Catherine back home, whether it be, you know, against her will or not. That has been their purpose. That has been their desire. I'd like to just share with y'all my last point in this, and then I'm going to close. And I'm sorry for taking long. If any of y'all have legitimate questions, if any of y'all truly are wanting to hear both sides of the story and not just Miss Groves' emotional appeals, like on CBS when she, you know, said that, you know, Catherine looked at me and said, "Not, I can't smile, Mom. I've got to be heavy, heavy, heavy and down." And y'all want to hear what we have to say about the written word of God. And again, we're trying to honor the authorities. The sheriff's department has come 3 times and checked on our welfare. We have a working relationship with the sheriff's department. I love these men. I believe they're honest lawmen. And I believe that the Lord has given us the powers that be. They're ordained of God to be a tear to evil works and to be a blessing to good works. I believe that. I'm thankful for the rights that we have in this Constitution, that we can seek the God of our choice, the religion of our choice. And if that is the we believe the Bible is God's word, then we can follow it, and it's our choice. I'm so thankful for that. I truly am. Not everyone has had it like that.